Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read the same verse I read Sunday morning. It seems to be the theme. The choir was learning the song. I'm going to look at it a little different than I did Sunday. But I want to say it's just two short verses, but especially verse 20 of chapter 3. Now unto him that is able... You got your Bibles, let's read that together and think about what you're reading. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do, there's just some words here that never cease to amaze me, the possibility behind those words, Brother Miller. Exceedingly. Now that doesn't sound like, as Uncle Bud Robinson said, that we're scrubbing the hubs of the axles as we're trying to get through the gate. Now, you young folks don't even know what a hub on an axle is, but some of us folks do. I like to preach to old people. We are one. I like young people, too. I do. I love them. I was preaching up in Lorain, Ohio, and I said something about a Dominator chicken, and they... And I said, I lost you, didn't I? I said, how many knows what a Dominator chicken is? And two old people in the back raised their hand. Hallelujah. Well, it's a black chicken with white specks. They're pretty good layers, and they're real good in a pot of dumplings. that has nothing to do with my preaching tonight. But I was talking about those adjectives, exceeding. Now, unto him, we're talking about somebody that has the ability. By his words, the worlds were framed. The stars, he knows them by name. No wonder, excuse me, the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Hallelujah. You ever just stop and wonder about that? But unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Not just abundantly, but exceeding abundantly. If that's not enough, above all that we ask or think. But here's what I want to get to tonight. According to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. What kind of power is working in you? What kind of power is working in me? He said, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwell in us, it's going to quicken our mortal bodies. Matthew's gospel, John was preaching, John the Baptist, he said, I indeed baptize you with water to repent, but he that's coming after me, who's mightier than I, whose shoe latchet and I'm not worthy to loose, he shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Brother Jarvis and I, he didn't know which way I was going tonight. We was kind of talking about this today at lunch and about the need in the church for the power of God being manifest through the working of the Holy Ghost. We've come to a time when people place very little importance on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if we want the exceeding abundant and above all that we ask or think, there's got to be something in us. Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. I know we're born again by the blood of Jesus and faith in the work at Calvary and confession of our sins. I know that. But God came along to empower the church to be a dynamic force in a dying world. Somehow we've came to a conclusion that God's not in the revival business anymore, but the same God that birthed this church in 1907 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a spiritual outpouring has not changed. He's not gone off the map. He's still on the throne and ready to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but he does it according to that that's working in us. Paul approached a group in Ephesians chapter 19, 12 of them. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? Maybe should I say, have you got it or has it got you? I'm of an age that I'm privileged to pastor several what I call first generation Pentecostals. By the time I was a young preacher, some of these saints were already well up in years. Sister Huff, some of them were in nursing homes or confined at home because physically their bodies had done broke down. Very seldom ever got to come to church, but you'd go to their house, Brother Greg, and you'd read some scripture and visit with them, going to encourage them. Said, let's pray, and immediately they were in the Holy Ghost. We had one little lady named Sister Fithens. Because of diabetes, had lost both legs between the knee and the hip. I mean, close to the hip. She wasn't down there in the bed feeling sorry for herself. You go in, and how you doing? She says, well, I'm doing great, Brother Suits. We have a little church together. Sister Fithens would shout all over that bed on those stumps of legs. I'd go away. I'd gone down to encourage her, and I'd go away and encourage Granny Bell, weighing 87 pounds, soaking wet. A good puff of wind would blow her over. But whenever she got in the spirit, I mean, there was a power in her that you'd feel from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Well, I don't know about you, but there was a power working in them. There'd been those that had prayed in the groceries, been those that had prayed in the rent money, those that had some of us are home today because somebody bore a burden for us when we were on a foreign field of soil and held on to the altars and wouldn't let go. I mean, move God across the thousands of miles. I'm talking about I'm hungry to see a Holy Ghost revival birthed again in this place in the midst of this people. I'd like to see the power that's supposed to be in us start working in us and through us. Amen. We sing the song sometimes, let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me, and that's good. But it needs to get more than on us. It needs to get in us. That it might breathe through us. Day of Pentecost, fully come, all one place. Sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues like as a fire set upon them. It was on them. Then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was in them. Next thing they know, they're falling out on the street witnessing, and it was the Spirit of God working through them. That a simple fisherman preacher get up and preach a simple message, and 3,000 souls were added to the church because of, he said, we have heard every man glorifying God and all. There was something breathing. Oh, Lord Jesus, let there be a power begin to work in us and through us in this church and in our holiness movement. God, stir us, stir us. They're taking the name Pentecostal down off a lot of churches, and they ought to because they've lost the power of Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah, but it's still the same. Sometimes, Brother Vernon, we get to thinking that we can't have revival. It's got too wicked. It's got, I've had people tell me, say, Russ, don't you know, the last days we just got to hang on, do the best we can. He said, evil men, seducers are waxing worse and worse, and I know that. But I read in the 19th chapter of Acts where Paul took 12 men, prayed over them, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and revival broke out in Ephesus. And Ephesus had a big church called a temple to goddess Diana. How big was the church? Had over 1,000 ministers. Pretty big church. Over 1,000 ministers, Brother Gilpin. Over 1,000. So there was men ministers and women ministers. But this church, every minister was a prostitute. Now, what kind of church was that? I mean, the church that dominated the city was a church built on lust, sensualism. I couldn't go into the sordid details of what they call worship. You say the whole city is given over to that, but 12 fire builders got saved. 12 fire builders got filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and revival broke out. You know the story as good as I do. But I'm telling you what, I'm talking about the power that I read those things exceeding abundantly, above all. And I want to see that. But he says, according to the power that works in us. What is the power? I believe it's the Holy Ghost power that we have harnessed and we have haltered and we have ignored. We need to let him go and let him have his way. Used to sing an old song, just let go and let God have his wonderful. And maybe you still sing it, but we ought to do it. If God had his way tonight, what would he do? If God had his perfect way tonight, what would he do? What would you do? Would you be saying, oh my, or oh me? I don't know. I'm just asking. I'd like to have a show of hands, but I'm not going to because I'm afraid I sure don't want to make anybody telling her of a falsehood right here in church. But the prophet, he got such a desperate state, he said, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. And I was praying that, and I was hollering that, and I was praying that. And I believe it was the Holy Ghost. I don't think the devil would have did it. But something quick in my heart said, could you stand it if I did? And I said, I don't know, God, I probably couldn't, but would you come down in the measure? I could stand it. Hallelujah. Moses wanted to see God, and God said, you can't see me face to face. So he stuck him in a cleft of the rock, put his hand over him, and said, as I passed by, he said, I'll let you see my hinder parts, and he did. And it's such a glow on Moses' face, they had to put a veil on it. Oh, but we need to get in the presence of God and let the Spirit of God work in us. We're living in the last days, but it's, the days of reviving and God moving is not over. If God could bring a revival in Ephesus where their main church was a church full of prostitutes, couldn't God bring revival? You said, well, we got dope users and dope peddlers and alcohol and blah, 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 blah. We can keep making excuses till they're longer than our arm. But that doesn't change the fact that God's still on the throne and God still has power and the ability is not changed. He's not bankrupt. He's not short on his ability. All he's short on is willing vessels. Church of Ephesus had such a revival that they piled in the street 50,000 pieces worth of silver, the curious arts and the books and things, and burned them. They say in today's economy that would be into the millions of dollars worth of stuff. I don't know. But I wonder sometimes if we want revival bad enough that we'd have such a house cleaning that they'd have to call the fire department as we built a bonfire around our stuff that hadn't helped us. Oh, sweet. I'm not trying to get on to you folks. I just like to stir some type of hunger in our heart. We've accumulated and we've collected so much stuff. So much stuff that we got so many cares and worries and frets and bothers. We can't hardly keep our mind on what God's trying to do and wanting to do. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Less than 10 years after this revival, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. Paul, the prisoner, he's in jail in Rome writing. And he's telling to wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Just 7 years or 10 years after a great revival, they're already gone to sleep. He said, you need to wake up, redeem the time. Well, if the days were evil in his day, how much more in our day? 35 years later, another letter comes to Ephesians, the letter from God. He said, I've got somewhat against you. You've left. You didn't lose it. You've left it. I don't think we've lost. We've left. Hallelujah. But the good news is that God's still on the throne. He hadn't changed. And he gave them opportunity. He said, except you repent, do your first works over, I'm gonna take your candlestick from out of its place. But while we've still got opportunity, while we've still got time, why don't we do something with what we've got? I don't know about you, but it would amaze you to see what God can do. I know I've seen God do some wonderful things. Saving a soul is the most wonderful thing that can ever happen, to see a life transformed and changed. But I've seen God transform lives, seen God heal sick, perform miracles, just do the impossible. That's for God, that's not exceeding abundantly above all. That's just the average working power of God. God's able. Oh, God, would you help me to be part of that? According to the power that worketh in us. What kind of power is working? What is it? Lord, look inside. What's in me? You know, the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1, he said, after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power. That word power is from the Greek word dunamis. We get the word dynamite and dynamo. And from that word, it means force. It's talking about the ability to get the job done. Whatever the job done, God's big enough to do it. Old preacher friend of mine going down the road, broke down his car, headed out toward a farmhouse about a half mile down the road, and before he got to the farmhouse, God told him, said, turn left. Well, there were nothing but a ditch full of weeds, but they're so strong, the impression to turn left, that he just turned left. And there in the ditch was a toolbox, a brand new shiny red toolbox. And he picked it up. Looked in it, it had exactly the tool he needed to fix his car. Went back, fixed his car, pulled up there, got out. They said, what you doing? He said, I'm putting it back. He said, man, that just fell off some tree. He said, that's God's toolbox. Hallelujah. He said, I ain't about to take God's toolbox. He said, he got over there and there's a big old spanner wrench, a big one. It wasn't there. He said, it was not there when he went. And he said, he kind of looked at that big old spanner wrench. The Lord spoke to him, said, if it's a bigger job, I'm able to take care of that too. Hallelujah. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. We hear stories about Leon Buzzard's grandpa getting called to go preach a meeting. His car coughed and sputtered as he drove into the yard. He's completely out of gas. No money in this 70-some miles away to go preach this meeting. And he said, his wife said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go preach. And leave the getting there to God. Go far as I go, I'll hitchhike. Well, the car took him all the way there. He preached for several nights. Got less than 15 cents. Depression times, there was no money. Got a few potatoes, maybe a chicken or something. But no, there was not enough to buy a gallon of gas. 70-some miles back home. He drove back home and pulled it in the yard and it died. He said that That's according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. Later, a friend in the 50s, some of you would know him if I called his name. He had an old Buick, a 51 or 2 model Buick, and he was called to preach a place 400 or 500 miles away, and he had a half a tank of gas. He had no money. And his wife said, "That will never make that 400 or 500 mile trip." He said, "I'll go as far as I can go, and I'll trust the Lord." He drove all the way there on a half a tank of gas. Little guy, he was headed home, broke. He got to praying. He said, "God, I don't have enough gas to get home. I got my family. My car's on empty." And he drove miles, 60, 70 miles, with his gauge pegged over on the red. And he thought, "Well, my gas gauge must be broke." So the next time he went out, gas got pegged on the red. He said, "Oh, I got plenty of gas. I drove 70 miles of the night on an empty tank." And he got about 3 miles and died. He said, "Had to walk 5 miles, God teaching me a lesson." I'll tell you what, you know, we hear about those things hear about, you know, I could tell you dozens of stories, and you got your stories too, but God worked miraculous things when people had a need. But we've came to a place we don't need God. We don't need God, Brother Charlie, because we can do it ourselves. Amen. We feel that way. But God's wanting to work in His church. If He works, He needs to get the glory. I said, God's wanting to work in His church. I don't want a letter from God or a phone call, but I do want a visitation. I want a visitation of the Holy Ghost to see God move again in London First Pentecostal, in Livingston Pentecostal, and Hodgsonville Pentecostal. I want to see a move of God in our area. I want to see the movement and stirring and the power of the Holy Ghost. What's happening? It's according to the power that's working in us. What's going on inside of you? He said, Jeremiah said, "I, the Lord, search the heart." What does he find? I've heard people say, "If I know my own heart." Oh, that's the trouble. We don't know our heart. But He knows. Are you willing to come before the master mechanic of glory? Turn your spiritual motor into His care and say, "Lord, whatever I need, fix it for me." Brother Hacker was singing that song earlier. "My hands, my feet, all of me." I thought, oh, hallelujah. If we can let that song be our prayer, do we believe? It comes down to, we believe what God said or we don't believe it. He said there's a power that works in us. The power that works in us and moves Him that has the ability to do what we cannot do. I tell you what, brother and sister, we need to allow God to do what He wants to do. He can use a fish, He did. He can use a donkey, He did. He can use a rooster, He did. But it's not God's will to use the animal creatures. It's God's will to use you, young men. He said He'd pour His Spirit upon all flesh. Young men would see visions. Old men would dream dreams. Upon His handmaidens and they'd prophesy. That's a last day move. That's the outpouring of the Spirit. That's the power He wants to work through us. It confounds men. It astounds men. But it don't matter. It's the will of God. God working through His church that God might be glorified in the midst of men and women everywhere. Woo! I feel His presence. According to the power that worketh in us. God is not interested in your availability nearly as much as He is your ability, rather, as He is your availability. Can He choose to work through you? Or do you have another excuse? Revival meeting. God speaks to a woman who's been praying to win a soul. Bake a chocolate pie. Give it to your nasty neighbor. You don't mind doing good things for good people, but sometimes she said she felt so convicted to do it, so she said, I'll do it. Went home from church that night and baked a pie. Had to get up and go to work next morning. She said, running late, I'll take the pie to her after work. And God said, take it to her this morning. She scribbled a note, told her who she was, invited her to church, said, I love you. Signed her name, put it on the porch. Neighbor came to church that night, came to the altar and got saved. And asked the pastor, said, can I say something? He said, sure. She said, my life has been utter chaos, misery. Literally, I couldn't stand myself or nobody else. She said, I've been a bad neighbor. I moved into a neighborhood. I hated myself. I hated everybody. She said, I felt like life wasn't worth living. She said, so I bought me a fifth of whiskey, and I had a bottle of pills. And I was coming home this morning from work. She had worked the night shift. She said, I was going to take that whole bottle of pills and wash it down with whiskey and pass out and never wake up. But she says, I pulled in my driveway. I saw a box on the front porch. So I went over, and there's a chocolate pie from my neighbor across the road. For the first time in a long time, somebody told me they loved me. She said, so instead of killing myself, I sat down and ate some chocolate pie. That's to die for, ain't it? Chocolate pie. I went to bed and woke up and said, if she loves me, I want to come to church with her. And now you know the rest of the story. You see, I can't do much, but there's a power that works through you. Oh. Let's stop making excuses to God and let him work through us. Let him use what we got. We might have to clear out some clutter. But God didn't make no junk. When God saw you and saved you, he saw something in you that he could use. Hallelujah. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he wants to use you. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, he wants to fill you. And if it's been a while since you've felt that presence, he wants to refill you. Hallelujah. We might be like the fourth chapter of Acts when they all went back and prayed again and were all filled again with the Holy Ghost and the place they were in were shaking. I'd like to see some shaking going on in London Pentecostal. Shake us up. Wake us up. Get us ready to do a work for God, to use and let God use the power that he's placed within his church to transform our community and bring revival to London, Kentucky. You're already making excuses. So I need to repent. You say, well, we've tried. We've done that. I've knocked on doors. I've this, I've that. You're patting yourself on your spiritual back. Don't you say, God, forgive me of my self-gloating, my self-indulging spirit. And God, birth a fire in my heart one more time. Birth a fire in my soul that you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hallelujah, you feel that way tonight. You say, I don't know, you're kind of scaring me, preacher. God is never going to do something to your embarrassment. Everything will be done decent in order, but God wants to use you. After all, there is no plan B. He has planted his church to be the city on a hill. He's planted his church to be the salt of the earth. And he's filled his church with the power of the Holy Ghost. With a power that's able, that has the force to do whatever needs to be done. Hallelujah. Unto him that's able. You believe God's able? You believe God's able? Unto him that's able. This is what God can do. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. This is what God can do. But he does it according to the power that worketh in us. Say me. Yeah. According to the power that worketh in me. What kind of power is working in you? Some folks ain't got enough power working in them to get out to revival. But we can't help them until we get the fire burning for ourselves. Amen. Ain't no need to condemn them. Some of us came tonight just because we didn't want the pastor calling on us to see where we was at. But then you come here and God ambushed you and tells you he wants to use you. He's got a plan for you. Hallelujah. God did not birth you to this generation and then say, oops. You are his plan for this generation. You are his hope, and he wants to work in his power through you. You can look around, and you can look around, but that's not the answer. You need to look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. This same spirit that dwelt in him, he said, dwell in you. Oh, I feel the power of his presence right now. Hallelujah. Are you willing? Are you willing to enlist again, re-up? Old military term. You willing to re-up? He said, well, I've been busy for the Lord, but he'd like to have you to re-up. Said, here I am, Lord. Use me. If you can use anyone, Lord, he can. That's the good news. He can, and he will. As she begins to play, I wonder how many men, women, boys, and girls would just come and say, Lord, use me. I believe that you're able to do your end of the bargain, but I've got to have something working in me. Unto him that's able to exceed abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power. God has chosen to limit himself by man. Would you unleash God in you? Would you pull down the walls and barriers and excuses in you and say, God, have your way in my life. Have your way in my heart. Have your way in my home. Have your way in my job. I've told you.